Chapter 34, The Joy of Working with Christ. God does not live for himself. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. By his example Jesus was to teach what it means to minister. He served all, ministered to all. Again and again he tried to establish this principle among his disciples. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Since his ascension Christ has carried forward his work by chosen ambassadors, through whom he speaks to the children of men and ministers to their needs. In Christ's stead they are to beseech men and women to be reconciled to God. Their work has been likened to that of watchmen. In ancient times sentinels were stationed on the walls of cities, where they could overlook important posts to be guarded and warn of the approach of an enemy. At stated intervals they called to one another, to make sure that all were awake and that no harm had befallen any. Each repeated the call of good cheer or of warning till it echoed round the city. The words of the prophet Ezekiel declare the solemn responsibility of those who are appointed as guardians of the church. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, you will have saved your life. RSV. Souls are in danger of falling under temptation, and they will perish unless God's ministers are faithful. If their spiritual senses become so benumbed that they are unable to discern danger, God will require at their hands the blood of those who are lost. Christ's love a greater motivation than money. Watchmen on the walls of Zion may live so near to God and be so susceptible to the impressions of His Spirit that He can work through them to tell men and women of their peril and point them to safety. At no time may they relax their vigilance, and never are they to sound one wavering, uncertain note. Not for wages are they to labor, but because they realize that there is a woe upon them if they fail to preach the gospel. Chosen of God, they are to rescue men and women from destruction. A co-worker with Christ does not study his own ease or convenience. He is forgetful of self. In his search for the lost sheep he does not realize that he himself is weary, cold, and hungry. He has but one object in view, saving the lost. The soldier of the cross stands unshrinkingly in the forefront of the battle. As the enemy presses the attack against him, he turns to the stronghold for aid and is strengthened for the duties of the hour. The victories he gains do not lead to self-exaltation, but cause him to lean more and more heavily on the Mighty One. Relying on that power, he is enabled to present the message of salvation so forcibly that it vibrates in other minds. He who teaches the Word must live in hourly communion with God through prayer and study of His Word. This will impart to his efforts a power greater than the influence of his preaching. Of this power he must not allow himself to be deprived. He must plead with God to strengthen him and touch his lips with living fire. By the power and light that God imparts they can comprehend more and accomplish more than their finite judgment had deemed possible. Satan's craft is more successful against those who are depressed. When discouragement threatens, let the minister spread out before God his necessities. When the heavens were as brass, see, over Paul, he trusted most fully in God. He knew affliction, but listened to his triumphant cry, "This slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, because we look not to the things that are seen but to the things that are unseen." RSV. By seeing him who is invisible, strength and vigor of soul are gained. Come close to the people. When a minister has preached a sermon, his work has but just begun. He should visit the people in their homes and point them to the higher way. Let ministers teach the truth in families, drawing close to those for whom they labor. Christ will give them words that will sink deep into the hearts of the listeners. Paul said, "I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, repentance to God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." RSV. The Savior went from house to house, healing the sick and speaking peace to the disconsolate. He took little children in his arms and spoke words of hope and comfort to the weary mothers. He was the servant of all. And as men and women listened to the truths that fell from his lips, hope sprang up in their hearts. There was an earnestness that sent his words home with convicting power. God's ministers are to learn Christ's method of laboring. Thus only can they fulfill their trust. The same Spirit that dwelt in Christ is to be the source of their knowledge and the secret of their power. Some have failed of success because they have not given undivided interest to the Lord's work. Ministers should have no engrossing interests aside from the great work of leading souls to the Savior. The fishermen whom Christ called left their nets and followed Him. Ministers cannot work for God and at the same time carry the burden of large personal business enterprises. The energies of the minister are all needed for his high calling. His best powers belong to God. The peril of side businesses. No soldier on service gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to satisfy the one who enlisted him. RSV. Thus the apostle emphasized the minister's need of unreserved consecration to the master's service. He is not striving for earthly riches. His one desire is to bring to the indifferent and the disloyal the realities of eternity. He may be asked to engage in enterprises which promise large worldly gain, but he returns the answer, "What shall profit a man, if he shall gain the whole world, and lose his own soul?" Satan presented this inducement to Christ, knowing that if he accepted it, the world would never be ransomed. And under different guises he presents the same temptation to God's ministers today, knowing that those who are beguiled by it will be false to their trust. The love of money is the root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced their hearts with many pangs. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. By example as well as by precept, the ambassador for Christ is to charge the rich in this world not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on uncertain riches but on God who richly furnishes us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good deeds, liberal and generous. RSV. Paul's heart burned with love for sinners, and he put all his energies into the work of soul winning. The blessings he received he used in blessing others. From place to place he went, establishing churches. Wherever he could he sought to counteract wrong and to turn men and women to righteousness. The apostle made it part of his work to educate young men for the ministry. He took them on his missionary journeys, and thus they gained experience that enabled them to fill positions of responsibility. When separated from them, he still kept in touch with their work. Paul never forgot that if souls were lost through unfaithfulness on his part, God would hold him accountable. Christ we proclaim, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man mature, perfect, KJV, in Christ. For this I toil, striving with all the energy which he mightily inspires within me. RSV. This high attainment all can reach who put themselves under the control of the great teacher. The minister who shuts himself in with the Lord may be assured that he will receive that which will be to his hearers a savor of life unto life. Of his own work Paul has left us a picture in his letter to the Corinthian believers, "As servants of God we commend ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, watching, hunger, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich. RSV. There is nothing more precious in the sight of God than His ministers, who go forth into the waste places of the earth to sow the seeds of truth. He imparts His Spirit to them to turn souls from sin to righteousness. God is calling for men who are willing to leave their farms, their business, if need be their families, to become missionaries for Him. And the call will be answered. In the past men have left home and friends, even wife and children, to go among idolaters and savages, to proclaim the message of mercy. Many in the attempt have lost their lives, but others have been raised up to carry on the work. Thus the seed sown in sorrow has yielded a bountiful harvest. The knowledge of God has been widely extended. If Christ left the 99 that He might seek and save one lost sheep, can we do less? Is not a neglect to work as Christ worked, to sacrifice as He sacrificed, a betrayal of sacred trusts? The heart of the true minister is filled with an intense longing to save souls. Others must hear the truths that brought to his own soul such peace and joy. With his eyes fixed on the cross of Calvary, believing that the Savior will be with him until the end, he seeks to win souls to Jesus, and in heaven he is numbered among those who are called, and chosen, and faithful.